This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
What are the terms of your community service, Chris?
The terms of my community service are that I'm supposed to work with the mental health at a mental health clinic, and that's what led me into, there's a bar that we go to called Rusty Pelican in Manhattan Beach.
Right.
And that's where I saw this woman, and I knew that her husband had died in Desert Storm, so that's when I told her that I knew her husband.
And you never met her husband?
No, sir.
And you were never in the military, right?
No, sir, I wasn't. But, again, you have to understand, I'm trying to help people who are emotionally upset because of my community service.
And well, you were arrested for a DUI when?
I was arrested for DUI September 6th, and the judge told me I could serve my community service over the next 30-day period.
Oh, so when were you sentenced?
I was sentenced on October 5th, and the judge said I could use my community service.
And so you went up to a woman in a bar and told her that you knew her husband.
I told her that I had fought with her husband at Desert Storm and that I was there when he died, yeah.
Now, why would you tell such a lie?
Well, hold on for a minute, man, because you have to understand. I'm trying to make her feel better, because I knew, after I had been talking to a few friends of mine, they said they knew her.
And what's her name?
Well, her...
Don't give me her last name. What's her first name?
Her first name is Sandy.
Sandy, okay. And you said that you knew her husband who died in...
What I said was that I was there when he died in Desert Storm. And she said to me, my husband died in a helicopter crash. And I said, I was with the medevac team that came in and tried to save his life, and that I held his hand when he died.
All right, besides telling this obvious lie, what makes you think on your feet so fast? You said you were the medevac team?
I'm a telemarketer, Mr. Hendry, for a living, so we do think on our feet pretty good. I mean, I was able to come up with that, because when she said her husband died in a helicopter crash, I knew that I couldn't have been another soldier, so I said that I was a medical corpsman.
Why did you lie to her?
Because I said...
Well, I know the terms of your community service, that the judge told you to work with the mentally ill at a mental health clinic. That doesn't have anything to do with walking into a bar and spotting a woman who is grieving her dead husband.
I don't know if you've ever had no community service or not, Mr. Hendry.
You asking me?
Yes, sir.
No, I have not.
Okay, I mean, you can do your community service in a lot of different ways. I go to the mental health clinic and I help counsel these people, but I felt that I would tell the judge that I'd done a good thing for this lady on account of her husband was in Desert Storm. Okay.
So you're thinking the judge is going to see this as a good thing because you were helping the widow of a guy that died in Desert Storm by telling her that her husband died bravely?
Yeah. Yeah.
But while you tell her that her husband died bravely, you tell her a lie because you weren't there.
But you understand, Mr. Like I said...
You weren't there. You weren't even in the military. You just walked up to a woman who somebody said her husband died in Desert Storm, and you said, I was there.
It made her feel better, is what I'm trying to get to. It made her feel better. And what happened was we got to talking, and the other thing that you need to know about me is that I am very good looking, and a lot of women do hit on me or whatever, and I'm not trying to say that I'm all that, but a lot of women do hit on me over at the Rusty Pelican. And so we did go home together, and we did have foreplay and some oral, but I told her that this doesn't mean that I loved her.
Before you had sex with her?
Before we had sex.
Well, what do you mean you had foreplay and some oral?
That's not, in my opinion, that's not sex. I mean, that is, but it's not totally.
All right, so what is your moral dilemma that you called the show with?
My moral dilemma is I'm very good-looking, and I'm really sensitive to her, and she naturally wants to be with me. So I went ahead, and like I said, I told her that, you know, I had sex with her. How do I get her to stop calling me, though? Because she says it changed her life, what I told her. And, of course, I know that. I probably did because, like I said, I am good-looking, and I'm very sexy, and I'm very sexual. I'm good in bed. And
Wait. Let's stop right here. She said you changed her life because you're good in bed?
Well, because I made her feel better about her husband. She finally found out that she thinks he died bravely.
I've never heard a story like this before, man.
I know, it's weird, but I mean, that's what happened.
The judge gives you community service because you got a DUI to work in a mental health clinic. you hit up on some chick at a bar. Turns out that her husband died in Desert Storm. So you tell her that you knew her husband. You were there when he died. And it's all a lie.
But it made.
But you're saying it made her feel good.
She said to me, Mr. Henry, you got to understand something. For the first time since her husband's death, she has a reason to live. And she said that to me. And then that, and not know that I'm not lying about that. That she said that on that night that I was there on Friday night. That she said that she had a reason to live.
She had a reason to live because you told her husband died bravely, or because you had sex with her?
I think it's both. I think it's both. I think it's both. I only really hanked her one time. And
what do you mean you hanked her, man?
I'm sorry. I mean, what I said was I only had sex with her one time. And
your moral dilemma is how to get her to stop calling you.
Yeah, because I'm not. I told her that I wasn't going to fall in love with her. So, because if she doesn't stop calling, I'm going to tell her. I may have to tell her the truth, and I don't want to do that.
All right, I'm. My mind's a little blown here, man. And maybe there's some people out there.
But that's what I called when you asked for people who had questions.
Chris, you're one for the books, man.
Well,
I mean it's one for the books. You have sex with a woman because she is grateful to you for having been there when her husband dies in Desert Storm, but you weren't really there.
That's right.
You weren't really there. Where are you right now, by the way?
I'm having dinner at the Rustic Punk in Manhattan Beach.
This is the place where you met her?
Yes, sir. This is where a lot of us come here weekly. But you have to understand something, sir. I didn't do this out of not being, not being cool. I mean, she was really hot. And that was one of the things. She was very, very hot, you know. And my sense, it's hard for me to control my sense. And so when I found out, you know, I wanted to be with her, but I...
And when you found out that her husband had died at Desert Storm, you came up with a story.
But also to make her feel better, too.
So you wanted to have sex with her, and you wanted to make her feel better. Let me give her phone number out.
No, I wanted...
Hold on, I got to give her phone number out. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Chris's moral dilemma is, how does he get this woman to stop calling him after he intentionally had sex with her and told her that her husband died bravely in Desert Storm, even though he was never there? How did you get this woman to believe that you were with a medevac unit?
I've done a lot of reading on Desert Storm. I mean, I've done a lot of reading on military, not Desert Storm, but I told her that I was with a medevac unit with the 8th Army Air Cav, and she said that her husband died someplace, I forget where. It was a chopper crash, and it was behind the lines, actually. So there wasn't any real danger. So it wasn't like her husband that was that big of a hero.
Whoa, watch that, okay?
Well, I'm sorry.
Just watch that, okay? The guy died behind the lines, in front of the lines, whatever.
Well, my mother always told me, Sir Henry, a little white lie is okay. And so I told her a little white lie about her husband so she'd feel better.
A little white lie? Holy Jesus. You told her that her husband died bravely. You were never there. You were never in Desert Storm. And then you went to bed with her because you say she wanted to.
She was very hot, but also I'm hot too. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. She's sassy, but I also am sassy. And I tell you what, Mr. Ernie, and I don't mean to say nothing because I am a telemarketer. And after a couple of rum and cokes, I mean, I'd make you think that I'm your mom. I mean, that's how good I am.
Yeah, that's how good you are at bullcrapping people, huh?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying, you know.
That's how good you are at talking a woman into bed, is that it? Chris, you used this woman.
No, sir, I did not. I made her. She said that I made her feel for the first time like she wanted to live for the first time. And she wanted to thank me for helping her husband, and she thanked me. I mean, that's...
Yeah, she thanked you. She went to bed with you.
Well, I think that's only fair. I mean, that's...
Only fair. Were you expecting her to?
Yeah, I mean, that's what...
That's why you came up with that bullcrap story.
No, that's not true. Because of...
Yeah, because of your community service helping people who are mentally ill. I got it. Hold on. So his moral dilemma is, how does he get her to stop calling? He wanted to help her, wanted to make her feel better. He also wanted to get laid. So he told this widow of a Desert Storm veteran who had died over there that he knew her husband, was there when he died, helped him because he was with a medevac unit, and the wife was so grateful, she slept with Chris here. Now Chris's moral dilemma is, and I hope I'm reading this properly, how do I get her to stop calling me because she says it changed her life? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The question is probably this. If you're helping somebody, does it matter whether you're lying to them or not? That's what he did. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
This is the Phil Henry Show. Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
But I tried to get rid of her, too. And I
all right, we're talking with Chris. You got to get your phone there.
I'm sorry.
We're talking with Chris Norton. He 1-800-449-8686. And we're talking with him about a young lady that he met in a bar and wanted to go to bed with her. And what are you? Who are you talking to, Chris?
No, I can't. Goodbye. That was her.
That was who?
That was her on the phone. She's calling my cell phone. I can't believe it. I told her to turn on the radio, but I know what I think. Turn on the radio.
That's the woman that you were...
Yes, sir.
All right. So your moral dilemma is how to get rid of her, even though you went to bed with her after telling her that you knew her husband and he drove bravely and...
I helped medevac him out of there.
Even though he died.
Well, that wasn't... I told her that wasn't my fault, that that was some...
Well, you really lied, didn't you, man?
Well, I'm not going to say it. I... did it. I said that another guy did it.
Another what?
Another medic.
Did what?
Just not killed him or anything, but wasn't that good so that he died. She was really hot. That's all. I'm very hot. She's hot. And I do have a philosophy about that. The hot people should get together.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Brenda on the Phil Henry Show. Brenda, go ahead.
Hey, Chris. You know, if you're listening to this, I think you're a real prick because you took advantage of a woman who is going through a very bad time in her life, and you weren't thinking about her feelings. You were thinking about what you had in your pants, and that was it.
Yeah, but first of all...
That was it.
What I got
in
my pants...
And you're trying to figure out how to get rid of her. You should be looking at yourself moralistically for what you did to this woman by lying to her
about saying
you were with her husband and all of that. That is wrong.
You
man.
Said,
especially
she said I helped her out.
A military guy who has put his life on the line for our country, and then you're going to sit here and then try to say, come on the radio and say, how can I get rid of this woman?
Okay, but here you got to understand something.
No.
First of all, I'm probably the best she ever had. That's
well, you know
one.
What? I think you've
and
got a...
Number two.
A, you know, you're thinking that you're all great, and you're not all nothing.
No, man. I'm not
you're
saying...
You're nothing.
I'm not
because
saying I'm all
anybody
great.
That would do that to a woman in life...
What's your language?
You
okay. Whoa.
God, listen to that woman, man.
Yeah, she... Did we cut her off? Okay. You got to watch that language on the old Phil Henry Show, or else... You are gone. 1-800-449-8686. You heard what she said about you.
Yeah, but the first thing that woman doesn't understand is that lady. Okay, I'll tell you, the lady that just called me a piece of you know what?
Yeah.
I bet you the same thing happened to her. I bet you she gave it up for some guy that was very sassy, and he, you know, he was really hot, and then he dumped her. Okay, because there's like a lot of guys that just pump her and dump her. Okay, and
will you watch that, please?
No, but I mean, that's probably what happened to her. She probably, you know, some kind of a butter hog, and some dude did it, and then, you know, hosed off and drove off.
Good Lord!
No, but she called me a piece of you-know-what. Look, I told Sandy, I told her I held his head and stroked his hair as he told me to tell his wife how much he loved her. Okay, so I had to tell her.
You had to tell her what? You weren't even there. He never said it.
But had I been there... But
yeah, if he said it, then I guess you got to tell her. But he never said... What are you telling me, that he had to do it because he told you?
Yes.
But he didn't. You were never there and he never said it. 1-800-449-8686. Lisa, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, this is Lisa.
Yes, Lisa.
Can I talk to Chris?
Yeah, I'm right here. How you doing?
I'm doing good, but, you know, I think you should just not hurt this lady's feelings. I mean, I think you should just tell her that you hooked up with an old girlfriend. But you know what? I don't think you're hot like you say you're hot. I think your hand might be pretty hot, too.
You know, some, I think you can't say, until you walk into the kitchen, you don't know how hot it is. And you ain't been in the kitchen yet.
I've been in the kitchen many times. My husband is hot.
Yeah,
we
sure.
We have two boys.
Whatever.
How many kids have you got? Your hand isn't giving you any kids.
You know what? If I had to count up all the kids I probably got, I'd probably be arrested for having kids that I don't support.
I bet you can only count them on one hand.
Okay, so I got five kids. That's more than your husband's been able to pump out. Yeah. What's your comeback?
You.
What's your comeback to that?
Okay, where are we going with this, folks?
No, she's calling me. I'm hot.
No,
I said I was hot.
I don't think you are, or you wouldn't have to lie to people. You wouldn't have to lie to this lady. I don't think you should hurt her feelings,
though. Let me tell you something about this lady, Sandy. She's very, very good looking, and if I were her husband, I think I'd be a little bit smarter if I was going to be in a war and not get shot, because I'd want to come back to her. So,
that has nothing to do with
it. What are you talking about?
That has nothing to do with it.
To do with what? I mean, he's the guy that got shot.
And the guy was defending his country, fighting for his country.
Yeah, but his wife's hot, is what I'm saying.
His wife might be hot, but I don't think you're hot. And what's this? What do you keep saying? Sassy?
Okay, let me ask you something. You've never seen me.
Sassy or sexy? You can't even speak right.
Oh, I happen to have a sinus problem. Is that some kind of, like, if you get a load of what I got, you won't care about how I talk.
You, oh my God. Oh my God.
Hey, Chris, I got to tell you something, man.
What?
You're not turning these women on.
Yes, I am, man.
Oh my God.
Yes, I am, and I'll tell you why I am. First of all, they're upset that I know how to sweet talk a woman.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's what I did.
You can't even speak right.
You're understanding everything I'm saying? And I think you read me loud and clear. Once you get a look at what I got,
you don't have anything.
You forget.
My husband's got something.
Yeah, your husband's got something. Yeah, I'll bet.
He's got two boys to prove it.
Hey, you know something?
He's got two boys.
It's Maureen. Hi, Maureen. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I want to know exactly how much skill and talent it took for this guy to lie to this woman.
Well, I got her in bed. You can answer that question.
Yeah, did that take a lot of skill and talent?
No.
Well,
because I'm very good looking.
You think that your moral problem is how to get rid of her?
No, my moral dilemma is how do I tell her to stop calling me after I helped her live again? She told me that I did.
You know what?
Okay.
And you think that's a moral dilemma? You're a moron.
What?
If you think it's a moral dilemma, you're a moron.
What's that accent? I don't understand.
Moron.
You don't know what a moron is? Take a look.
I know what a moron is. I don't know what a moron is.
Are you drunk?
Hey, lady, I met this lady. She's very hot. She knows I'm hot. She went to bed with me. We had sex. And now she keeps calling me.
You know,
after
let me ask
you
a question. Why do you think you're so hot?
First of all, I've been told by many women I'm hot. I go to the Rusty Pelican Manhattan Beach all the time. I got ladies who want to buy me drinks. A lot of ladies ask me to dance. I could go home with a lot of women on any given night.
Well, I'll bet a lot of drugs would like to hump your leg as well. That doesn't mean that you're hot.
What? I don't understand.
She said, I'll bet a lot of dogs want to hump your leg. It doesn't mean you're hot.
I don't go out with dogs, lady. I go out with USDA Prime. Stuff I go out with is sweet. It's hot.
Really? Can you tell me what it takes for you to have an ejaculation? What kind of talent does
it take?
It's
more,
an autonomic
a whole
response.
Lot more what you got, honey.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Is it all right to lie to make someone feel better? not only make them feel better, but have them actually feel so good they go to bed with you. And then when they feel at the top of their game, you want to break it off with them. This gentleman I'm talking to, Chris Norton, is a 28-year-old telemarketer from Manhattan Beach, California, who went into a bar because he's working community service after a DUI. And let's not forget that, Mr. Norton. You had a driving under the influence.
Yeah, well, that's got nothing to do with it, Mr. Henry.
Well, I think it does. You had a driving under the influence. So his community service was to work in a mental health clinic. Well, he took his community service into a local bar where he met a woman whose husband had died during the Desert Storm campaign in the Gulf War, claimed that he was with her husband when he died, claimed that he was with a medevac unit that tried to save his life, and the woman was so grateful she slept with Mr. Norton.
That's not true.
Isn't that what you just told me, sir?
No, she slept with me because I am... Yes, she slept with me because...
Oh, I forgot. She slept with you because you're hot.
Sir, I'm very good looking. Yes, I am hot, and she's also hot. I'm not saying that that's the only reason, but also you have to take it into consideration that I'm very hot, and she's sweet. So we hooked up.
And you had sex together.
We had sex, yeah.
All right, so your moral dilemma, as you've been calling it all through the show, is how do I get her to stop calling me?
Yeah, and the way I've been treated on your program, I've been called a pig and everything. And that one woman, by the way, I don't know what her name was, called like 20 minutes ago. Hey, lady, if you're still listening, you want to see what my stuff's about? Yeah, check it out. You see what I got. She all thinks that I'm not hot. You know, I mean,
Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do here, Chris. I'll believe you, you're hot. All right, you're sexy.
I am. I'm very good looking, and the only reason I'm bringing that up is to let the ladies know why she want to go to bed with me. On account of also I save her husband's life.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So how should Chris break it off with this woman?
And I have to be delicate about it, because if I break it off with her, she may kill herself. Also, the mental health clinic that I work at, there's a lot of chicks, or not chicks, but women there who have tried to kill themselves. And a buddy of mine, which one of my friends, I think it's Steve Richter, he's also Ken's bar over here. I told him I'd hook him up with this one girl, this very nice girl, although, yeah, she has tried to kill herself 3 times.
What are you doing, man? You're hooking your friends up with emotionally unstable women? Hold on.
No, it's just that he's also good looking.
Here is Sharon. Hi, Sharon. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you doing?
Good. Okay. Let's take into consideration you're good looking.
Where are you from?
Toronto.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Okay.
That's cool.
I'm going to be sane about this, and I'm not going to cut you up.
No.
Okay, don't hook up anyone who has mental illness issues with your friends. Not a good idea. That's
well,
the one thing.
No, but see, the other thing is I work with her at the mental health clinic where I do community service, and she's not going to kill herself. But also, she's... wants a man.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, let's get to the other part. You're calling this a moral issue. So it sounds like, okay, here's the first part. It sounds like you're concerned. Oh, someone's calling you.
Yeah, can you hold on?
Wait, I would let the phone go so you can listen to the lady.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So anyway, this is what you should do.
What?
Okay, so take in consideration you're good looking and all of that stuff.
I'm on the air right now talking about it.
Okay.
Sir?
I'm on the air right now talking about it.
Mr. Norton?
Yes.
Could you hang the phone up? You're talking to a caller, and we are on the air.
Okay, I gotta go. I'm sorry.
Okay, Chris. It sounds like you're gonna tell her the truth just to alleviate your own guilt around lying, perhaps. Is that true?
What?
It sounds like you're gonna tell her the truth about you lying about the medevac thing.
About what?
Well, you said that you were there and tried to help save his life.
What?
When you were in Iraq and you saved his life.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question? Could you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
Okay. You indicated that you told this woman, when you met her, that you were the person who went there to try and save him, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So that's a lie.
Well, I'm not saying I told the truth.
Okay, no, that's fine. I'm not arguing that matter.
Hang that phone up, please.
I'm sorry.
Okay. You should just break it off with her like any other relationship.
Well, I'm gonna, but then she'll kill herself.
Well, you know what? People take responsibility for themselves. I'm in the human services field. And if you're going to tell her that just to alleviate your own guilt, don't do it. Just break off with her like any other one.
Okay, and what am I? You're in the health. You're in the mental health services.
No,
field?
I'm in human services. Okay. I've dealt with a whole bunch of different issues.
All right, so what do I do if she tries to take her, you know, to shoot herself or something?
Well, you should have thought of that ahead of time. But
oh,
you
that's
can't
really cool
that.
Of you to say that. You're in the human services field.
Well, you should probably.
Will you
have
answer that phone?
Bottom line is, end it with her, but don't tell her that you didn't help save her. Try to save her husband's life, because that's going to destroy her.
Hold on for a minute, okay?
Yeah?
Hey, pal?
Hello?
Hey, Sharon, thank you very much.
No.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for calling us tonight.
Okay.
1-800-449-8686.
Yeah, that's what I said. You kill yourself. I don't care.
Hey!
I'm sorry?
You're on the radio.
Oh, I'm sorry. I gotta go, bitch.
Jesus, listen. Is that the woman?
That is, yeah, that's her, but here's the thing, you gotta understand. She's psycho, man. She's psycho. I mean, you feel sorry for her, she'll cut it right off, man, if I let her back in my apartment.
Ann, go ahead, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good, ma'am.
Hey, this guy really worried about when you that phone, I'm gonna slam him with it in a second.
What's that?
This guy's so worried about what? Killing this woman? She's going to kill herself?
She's going to kill herself if I break off her.
Okay. 1-800-449. Let me tell you something, Chris. What you need to do.
I'm listening.
What you really. Will you listen to me?
I'm listening, yeah.
What you need to do is tell this girl.
I'm sorry. I'm really busy, man.
This is the Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I am Phil Hendry, and on this show, I sometimes play the voice of one of the callers. One, not all of them. In that last bit, that was me doing the voice of Chris Norton, and the people that called believe Chris to be a real person. A real person. But sometimes some people just don't quite get it. Witness this email from Elaine, I believe it's Knox, in Texas City, who writes, I was greatly offended by the guest on your show tonight. She's referring to another evening. I regret that I lost the signal when I drove into Texas City, or I would have taped the show and sent tapes to your sponsors. Let's see how long you'd stay on the air if I did that. I believe in freedom of speech, but there are some guests that have no redeeming value, like the gay man who is a gay journalist calling the president a simple-minded fool. You are aware that he repeated those phrases at least once a minute. Then, when you claimed to have your producer calm him down, you repeated the phrases yourself. Why did you have that obviously, quote, high, end quote, idiot on the air to begin with? What does his opinion matter to anyone except the readers of his column in Orange County? He's not the only nut you've had on your show. Fortunately, I've only listened to your show twice, and you let on that crazy woman who donated the piano bench and a certificate for tuning the piano. She talked the entire time I was in my car. Elaine Knox, Texas City. Well, Elaine, thank you very much for your email.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I want to be a gay Navy SEAL to show that I'm able to be a combatant journalist.
Now, you're not going to allow a journalist to carry a gun.
I'll prove them wrong. I can go in with the Navy SEALs. I can go in with the demolition team on any Iraqi vessel you want to talk about in deep water harbor operations. I can blow hell out of a Iraqi minesweeper.
You should go with your mouth.
Go back. Go. See, there you go with your homophobia. See, if you
I'm not talking about blaring anything. I'm talking about you talk so much bullshit.
You hate gay people. Why don't you just say it?
I do not hate gay people.
I'm a gay man.
I have plenty of gay friends.
Okay, are they gay?
He just said he has gay friends.
You don't even let other you talk
so
much. You don't even listen to what people are telling you.
No, sir, I hear what you're saying. I want to know, are your friends gay?
I just finished saying that
he just told you that he has gay friends.
All right, instead of them calling me a SEAL because I'm gay, I want them to call me a gay Navy SEAL with a starfish. That's what I want them to do.
A starfish?
That's what all gay operatives in the Navy SEALs should have, a starfish symbol to show that they are gay demolition experts. So stand back.
Wait a minute. You're trying to tell me that the Navy SEALs should put a starfish on all their gay members because that's what?
That's a highly proficient demolition team of highly gay individuals. This is what I mean about the homophobia.
All you want to do is get out on the radio and let everybody know that you're gay.
But
that's
sir, you
all
laugh,
you're trying to do.
You laugh at my gayety. And so I have to say,
no, I laugh
you
at
have
you.
A gayophobia.
Not at the fact that you're gay. I laugh at you because you are the true fool. And
I'm
the only single-minded fool here is you.
Let's get back to what I was talking about. President Bush wants to go in with
you
land-based infantry.
You are the only simple-minded fool. And it's embarrassing to know that a newspaper or somebody would allow you to write a column in their paper.
And let's remember the paper, the Orange County Courier.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
50 cents a day. Go ahead.
I would be embarrassed if I was the editor of that paper and I heard this program tonight. I would be embarrassed to know that you're employed by me.
Sir, if you have a gayophobia, that's fine.
I have no gayophobia.
Right. Well, what's your plan? Come on, what's your plan? Come on. Come on, what's your plan?
What is
you
my plan?
No plan?
To let the people
my plan
that
is
know
to send in deep,
my plan
cover
is
gay people.
To let the people that
right.
know what the hell they're talking about do their thing without having idiots like you,
you know what
trying
talking
to
about
tell them what to do.
That simple-minded clown Bush is going to have us blown from here to there.
That simple-minded clown Bush has more balls and more of anything than you will ever have.
Well, I think you've got a fagophobia going. I think that
what a fagophobia.
The only fagophobia there is here is you because you have the key to let everybody know that you're gay.
Sir, I believe that our country would benefit from a highly placed gay team.
A gay man can be good anywhere.
Oh,
it doesn't matter if they're gay, if it's a woman,
if
it's a lesbian.
If
they are good at whatever job they do,
okay.
That's what matters.
But if you're not
what
homophobic,
performance they can do, not what whether their homosexuality is it comes into effect. That
well,
doesn't have anything to do with it.
What are you talking about President Bush's balls for if you're not got some homophobia thing going on?
See,
I'm
he's talking
about
the man's courage. All right. This is absolutely not working. And turn that music off. We're not done yet. This is not working, okay?
Why are you so obsessed with my sexuality, Danny?
Phil,
I want to know.
Phil.
Yes, sir.
I've wasted enough of my
all right, sir.
My
I appreciate
cell phone
it.
Time on
yeah,
this.
It sounds to me like someone might be ready to come out. You want me to help you come on out?
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, you're so adult.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I said that we could have a team of very proficient, sharply developed gay men with an entire passel of explosives going in under the deep cover of night into some of the darkest deep water nightclubs in Baghdad, and we could completely destroy, and this would be the Starfish Brigade.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
So thank you for your email there, Elaine. The Starfish Brigade. Pretty, pretty whack. 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Hendry Show. Did you see this videotape of the fist fight at the football game? You know, I guess we're going to have to start having cops everywhere. Is that it? You know, what they should do is get adults out of there. Just get the adults out. The kids have a football game, and then they keep score themselves, and everything's just going to be fine. What a embarrassment. And this one guy got in a shot. You wouldn't believe it. He just dropped this dude. I mean, the guy comes up. Did you see it, Janice? He got a right hand on this guy. He went down like a freaking sack of potatoes. Good Lord. But you know what? That guy's got a lawsuit. See, that's the beauty of fist fights. Take a shot, you got a lawsuit. That's right. No matter how much a guy's going to tell you he don't care if he gets sued, oh, he'll care all right. Because what happens is the court just garnishes your money until you bleed from everywhere. And then pretty soon what happens is when you didn't think you cared, you start caring a whole lot. Because all the money that you're making, you ain't bringing home. And if you don't pay, well, that's a whole other thing. So when you haul off and you cold cock somebody, I don't care where, how, or when, think again, pal. Because if he's got any kind of a lawyer, you're gone. And as much as we hate the so-called litigious society that we're in, it is the little man's revenge. I don't know if punching somebody out is worth major bank. Maybe it is to you. It ain't to me. There have been times, oh my God, I wish I could mention the people. I wish I could mention names that I wanted to get in my car, drive to a certain part of town, and split somebody's face open. And I thought to myself, okay, let's see, Henry. You have morals clauses to consider. Your career is pretty much over. You'll be arrested. Nobody will hire you. Just calm down. Now you know why. Don Julio Blanco in the family pack. That's why I do it. But then if I did that, I'd have no screener. Now, anyway, I'm kidding. I would never say that. He made me say that, Chris. He, this scum. Go ahead. Yeah, that little girl in front of me, you got it. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Sports fans, don't forget the Phil Henry Show website. This is the place to be for all of the updates, all the things you need to know about the Phil Henry Show. We've got a Comedy Gold archive that goes back 7, 8, 9 years in some cases. All kinds of short-form and long-form bits. We also have a 30-day archive, which archives, well, oddly enough, the last 30 days of our show. If you missed any show over the last 30 days, you can hear any one you want at any time of the day that you'd like, any hour that you'd like. And what I like about Windows Media, if you use the Windows Media option, you can go directly to an individual segment that you might have missed. It's all there on our 30-day archive link. And the rest of the Phil Henry Show website is a potpourri of fun. Go to the souvenir shop, pick up our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. Comes in all the major men's sizes, and it'll ship within 2 to 4 weeks. You can get the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt, show that you're a big fan of Jay and all of his bull crap. Or if you'd like, you can get one of our Best Of CDs from 97 through 2001. And coming very, very soon, we're very happy to offer our 2002 CD, the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2002 CD. It's called World Famous, because that's what we is. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be a double CD for the price of one. We're giving you two CDs. I think it's like 100 minutes worth of material. And when we give you one of our CDs, it's worth it. I mean, this is top grade material, and you're going to get 100 minutes of it for $20. That's all available on our website. You want to hear the audio, you need a backstage pass. It's only $6.95 a month. Well worth it. Phil Henry Show website. That's philhenryshow.com, P-H-I-L-H-E-N-D-R-I-E, show.com.
This is the Phil Henry Show. Here's Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Well, Thanksgiving isn't Thanksgiving unless you have some of that slow-roasted turkey at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Why cook? Bring the family down to Ted's of Beverly Hills for a cranberry and turkey. We've got potatoes. Got it all going on.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
All right, Ted Bell is with me, and this portion of the Phil Henry Show sponsored by Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted, how are you?
Phil, I'm doing very well.
And I know that you have the book. Now, the book came out yesterday?
The book is out yesterday. Making the Stepdad Happy, I think it's something that you're going to find interesting. As you know, Phil, I've been a stepfather for 3 years, and it's difficult to articulate. Stepkids, as everybody knows, generally don't really do enough to win the affection of their stepfathers, so we're trying to give the mothers that bring these kids into the family, we're trying to give them some heads up on how to do it so these, the stepkids don't become even more irritating than they are. And one of the things that I wanted to say is my wife, Marcy, who you know, Phil.
Yes, I do.
Marcy, who I met and immediately fell in love with because she was put together, and I say that with the greatest of respect for a woman that I love and respect, but you know Marcy, and I've had 3 great years with her. She's absolutely beautiful. She walks into a room and grabs the attention of men, and for good reason. I had a busboy who worked for me, and he told me how beautiful he thought Marcy was, and I was complimented, but you know something? I was so jealous, I fired the kid, and I felt bad about that, so I brought him back. Now, the situation, though, is this. Marcy was married to some other guy, obviously, and she had this kid, so I've also been living with the kid.
Well, is this is a stepchild? Is this a boy or a girl?
It's a boy, and most men who marry women with kids will tell you this. You're obviously marrying her because she's a real... And can I be honest, or...
Go ahead.
You marry her because she's a piece of ass, and I'm saying that with the greatest of respect for women. I mean, I love Marcy as a woman, but she is a terrifically put-together woman. And why wouldn't she be? She's been with a lot of men. I mean, she was married to another guy. But what do you do with the kid? He's not my kid. Here's the part that makes it difficult. I don't really like him that much, but I'm trying to be a good guy. I am.
All right, now, you're talking now about Marcy's son, your stepson.
Yeah, the kid that she brought into the marriage, which I knew that she was, and so you don't think the worst of me, I knew she was bringing the kid in on the deal. And I said to her, I'm happy to be the stepfather of him, but that, you know, there has to be some give and take. And she's, you know, what I have said is I got a prenuptial agreement that basically says that she is entitled to, instead of 50%, 40%. Even though...
Well, she's got a prenuptial in case of a divorce.
That is correct.
Well, she's got a son, so if you guys were to divorce, you would give her less?
But Phil, I got a substantial amount of money. What I'm saying is, because she has a stepson, don't I get anything? What am I going to get?
So you...
So I had her sign the prenuptial, and she gives back a little bit of money on this thing. Now, one thing about stepkids, they're loud, they keep their rooms dirty. I mean, this kid barely talks to me because that was the deal with me and Marcy. If I wanted some of what she had, and I'll tell you something, she's put together. I got to pay for his school, and I pay for his school. I'm happy to do it. But I have been living in this sort of hell for the last few years, and every good time I have with the wife is offset by this kid.
Well, what's the name of your son?
Well, his name is David, named after his father.
And what is the book? The book is called Making the Stepdad Happy.
The book is Making the Stepdad Happy. And Phil, finally, someone has written a book that tells women with kids how to make those kids behave so that they don't anger their new stepfathers and, in fact, help their mom land a new stepdad. Because if a kid can't help his mother land a new stepfather who can make life wonderful for them, because keep in mind, the father that he has, the husband that she's leaving, is generally a deadbeat, generally a loser. She's trying to latch on to something a little bit better.
I don't know that anything you're saying is true, Ted, in terms of the ex-husband being a deadbeat or a loser.
Oh, believe me. And so she's trying to latch on. And
well, there's a number of chapters here that I want to talk about. The book is called Making the Stepdad Happy. Ted Bell, who's a stepfather... How old is the boy?
He's just turned 8.
He's 8 years old. All right, our number 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Here's a chapter here. Don't talk about your real dad.
That is right. One of the things that can really make things, one of the things that stepkids do wrong, and they do it time and again, is they're always talking about how great their dad is, you know, my dad does this, my dad does that. Hey, if your dad is so great, why aren't you still living with him? Okay? And I asked David that. I said, if your dad's so wonderful, why aren't you still living with him? Since most ex-husbands are deadbeats and don't pay their child support and really don't give a crap about the kids once they're gone, I don't want some stepkid talking about their dad. And neither do most stepfathers.
All right, so, and here's a chapter, The Dirty Bedroom, Entree to Violence. What is that?
All right, let me explain, Phil. I moved Marcy and her son into Bell House 8 years ago.
Now, when you talk about Bell House, that's your house?
That is correct. That's 2 acres, 7 bedrooms, we've got 8 bathrooms, we got a billiard room, an in-home theater. The boy has his own suite of rooms. We've got a bathroom, a tub, a shower, a foyer, a king-size bed. We have a phone line for the boy, and I've given him all of this. And I walk by his room one day, and I see all this filthy football gear. I saw a dirty plate. and I thought I was going to commit homicide.
All right, so the boy is 8 years old. Isn't that something that an eight-year-old boy does?
Not, let me tell you this, Phil. In my house, no. In your house, in the other guy's house, in another guy's house, yes. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, my stepkids are a little bit older than eight, but they're dirty.
Well, in my house, no stepkid does that. No one. And I know what you're going to say, is he old enough? Let me tell you something, Phil. When you're walking on a high-quality Berber carpet that I'm providing for you, and you're sleeping on a bed with the 360 thread count sheets, you keep that room clean. Now, I said to Barcy, look, I know the kid's got to live here, but that room had better stay clean, or I will take all of his personal belongings, pitch him into the pool, and we can start all over again.
All right. The book is called Making the Stepdad Happy. It is $29.95. We have another chapter here called Don't Make the Same Mistake Twice.
That's right. This chapter deals with the fact that so many kids make their real father angry. So don't also piss off your new stepdad. It's hard enough for a single woman with kids to get remarried. Think about your mother. She's got you and maybe some brothers and sisters. She's single now. Think how hard it is for her to be able to, you know, get a man even interested if he finds out that she's got you. And so,
doesn't this book, in a way, Ted, and I'm going to be honest with you because I know you're a loving man, doesn't this put the child down?
I don't think so, no.
I mean, you're saying things like, you know, she's got you, so it's going to be harder for her to get a man.
No, I give children who are stepchildren wonderful tips on how not to have a stepfather, you know, hit them or be angry at them. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful primer. So the thing that I like to tell stepkids when I see them, if they're not mine, hey, your mother had a really hard time landing this husband, okay? Try to do something to help her and not walk into the room and look like hell warmed over, you know? You look like something out of a nightmare. Help your mother get a man.
All right, now you say in your book the stepkids have to take responsibility. What are they taking responsibility for?
Well, I think stepchildren have to take responsibility for the damage that they've done to relationships. Stepkids, sloppy, rude, always hungry, always needing. They've done more wrong to stepfathers. And just as Barcy is asking me about my day, guess what happens? Here comes the kid. He hurt his knee. Here comes the kid. He's got a problem. He's sick. All of these things put together have made my life and the lives of many stepfathers very uncomfortable. What keeping the stepdad happy will do is finally get these children thinking in the right direction. And Phil, I'm trying to make things better in the homes of these stepkids. Work hard to be the best you can, to be the new step, to be the new stepdad, and everything's going to be fine.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Ted Bell has written a book, Making the Stepdad Happy, How Stepchildren Are Just One Big Pain, according to him. And there are things you can do to make your mother worthy of the new man that she's married. What do you, there are women out there who have children and you've married new men. Do you find it that difficult to land a man if you have children? Are your children hell on wheels to the stepfathers? Would you purchase a book like this? Is it valuable to you? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, The world famous Phil Henry Show. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come down to Ted's of Beverly Hills and purchase a copy of Making the Stepdad Happy. And if you buy a steak dinner, you get my autograph absolutely free at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Ted Bell joins me. Ted, you are a stepfather. You've written a book called Keeping the Stepdad Happy, and you're going to be signing autographs of that?
I'll be signing the book at Ted's of Beverly Hills by restaurant, Phil. Remember, when we're talking about stepkids, and we like to consolidate this down to one phrase that the kid can remember. Remember that you're not my real kid. You're my stepkid. And so you have to work your way in and make me happy and show me that you want to make me comfortable before I can do something for you. And I really think that's the message of the book, and it's really what we want to try to get out there.
You're not my real kid. You're my stepkid.
That's right.
1-800-449-8686.
And by the way, Bill, these kids have to realize that mommy may be out, and I want to put this delicately, but if they don't behave, then why do I want to live with their mother? You see what I'm saying? And I put it better in the book, but again, the phrase is, you're not my real kids, you're my stepkids.
I think that's putting an awful lot on a child.
No, I
think it's putting an awful lot on a child, but... let's see what people have to say. Suzanne, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Phil, hi.
Hi, ma'am.
This is Suzanne. Is this guy out of his mind?
Am I out of my... Look, the message to stepkids is your mother is only so good-looking. You can't...
It sounds to me like the only thing this guy cares about is his Gerber carpet and his nice, clean house. Let me tell you, I've raised three kids all by myself, and if I ever, I would never let my kids kowtow to some wimp like this.
No, wait a minute, but you know why you raised those.
He's going to like my kids.
You know why you raised. You know why
my kids do what he says.
No, wait, you know why you raised those kids by yourself.
I did not raise those kids.
No man.
No, I raised those kids out by myself out of choice.
Out of choice,
of bringing, of refusing to bring men like that into their lives.
Are
you out of your mind?
Right, are you calling
you
this woman a liar?
No. You're not to be the molesters.
Excuse me. Have your kids taken responsibility for ruining your marriage? Have your children taken responsibility for ruining your marriage? See, what
Why would my kids, why would it be their responsibility for ruining a marriage?
Didn't you say they had a stepdad?
These kids have been through enough, and now you want them to kiss your rear end?
No, wait a minute. Didn't you say that they had a stepdad?
Holy moly.
Didn't you say they had a stepdad?
I'm in a room with you all by myself.
Ma'am, didn't you say they had a stepdad who couldn't take it any longer and left?
No, I never said anything of the sort. What I said was, I would be doggone if I'd ever find some guy like you.
Oh, really?
To make my kids kiss your little feet. Your Berber carpet.
Dirty. You know what a Berber carpet is? Do you know what a 360 thread count sheet is? I provide this life for that stepkid.
I care less about that. If you want a child to respect you, you want anybody to respect you, you earn it.
Ma'am,
child has been through enough.
Let me jump in here. Ted?
I want to say there's a symbiosis between the mother and the children. The more the kids have, I believe the better looking you had better be. Because you see what I'm saying? You find that funny? You tell me how much your kids have been through, and yet you think the whole thing's funny. I find that very interesting.
You know what I find hilarious is that you expect an 8-year-old child to run around cleaning up the house and sort of please. How old are you? Are you a child? Children make messes.
I put up with it because
if
his mother.
If you don't like. A mess.
Ma'am, I put up.
Then you shouldn't have married that woman. What does this child have a name? The boy? Back in the damn slave days?
What are you asking?
You could use the boy's name. What is his name?
His name. Look, ma'am, I know you're alone today because your kids are disobedient and disrespectful. Otherwise,
my children are grown and married.
They have a man.
Successful.
Did they have a man? Did you have any money? Did you find a man with money?
All three of them.
Did you find a man with money?
Successful marriages.
Did you find a man with money?
Did I? I make my own money.
Well, she doesn't understand what I'm saying.
Well, here's my question.
I make my own money. My children did not need a man.
I put up with that kid because his mother is a piece of ass. Okay?
You're a pig.
His mother.
You have to be the laziest way. All around, because you are disgusting.
I put up with his mess.
Honey, leave him.
Let me tell you.
Leave him. Get out of the
whatever happened
to her. Turn your kid up. She's going to have the worst
I put up with his mess up because his mother can swallow a 12-inch kielbasa sausage. And Marcy's son's name. You want to know what the kid's name is? $20,000 a year for a private school. Thank you very much.
All right, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, oh, really? 20 grand a year? I doubt it.
All right.
Thanks. You know what it is with you, you loser?
It,
it's all about money. It's all about money.
Private school.
It's all about money.
Just because
honey,
your kids went.
When you drop
just because you're 13, you're almost still in Montessori.
You can't take that money
right.
with you, and I hope that wife of yours takes it all.
Thank you.
That kid crapped in my bidet. Now, I'm going to tell you what a bidet is, because I know most of the people in your audience don't know what it is. A bidet is a European hygiene appliance that is used in the bathroom in conjunction with the toilet. It is a cleansing apparatus. This woman marries me, brings the kid into the house, and we provide him with a beautiful room, a suite, with a bathroom, with a bidet, and he craps in it.
He's a 9-year-old, 8-year-old boy. Maybe he didn't...
He doesn't know what a bidet is. I told him this is the water that squirts up there.
Oh, come on, Ted. The kid's an 8-year-old boy. And
you know, you people that want to give me the whole... You know, what is it with you, Phil? You brought me on your program. I'm telling you about a book that I wrote, and you're not going to sell any books from me. You're going to have people walking away from it. I have a signing tomorrow night at my store. I have a signing tomorrow night at Ted's of Beverly Hills. I can assure you, Mr. Henry, if I do not have people showing up to buy my book, I have an advertising account with you that could go away.
Oh, come on, Ted. You can't blame me.
No, the way you've been indicting me tonight, I find offensive, sir. Offensive.
I haven't indicted you at all. You've written a book called, Making the Stepdad Happy, and that children need to be, children that...
The stepchildren need to do more to keep the stepdad happy. It isn't enough anymore, Phil, that the stepkid's mom is gorgeous and is, I'll say it, a real piece of ass, okay? They got to do a little more. It's a new millennium. It's a new century, Phil. And the stepkid needs to do more to make sure that I don't get angry and throw him and his mom out in the street. Which is, as you know, I did that to the last wife.
I know the tragic story.
Oh, the tragic story.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell owns Ted's of Beverly Hills. He'll be signing his new book, Making the Stepdad Happy, at his restaurant tomorrow night. If you buy a steak dinner, his autograph is free. He's talking about stepkids making their stepdads happy. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, man. How many spots did you buy?
Ted's of Beverly Hills. Jeez. Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down and buy a copy of Making the Stepdad Happy. And when you buy a steak dinner, you'll get my autograph absolutely free. I'll sign the book, but only if you buy a steak dinner at Ted's.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell is with us here from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we're talking about the book Making the Stepdad Happy. And it is no longer enough that a woman be really hot looking. The stepkids have got to behave anyway. That, according to you.
My wife, Marcy, is, as I've said, a real piece of tail. But that kid she's got, it's not worth it. The kids have got to act better.
I wonder what the kid would think about the...
Oh, Phil, don't moralize with me, all right?
No, I just wonder what the kid would think about you calling his mother a real piece of tail.
Don't moralize with me. What that kid goes to a private school, okay? I do more for him than that bum ex-father of his.
And that's another thing. He can't talk about his own father?
Not in front of me, he won't.
1-800-449-8686. Mary, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Mary? She's got a radio. Could you turn your radio down, please?
Okay.
Go ahead. You're on with Ted Bell and Phil Henry.
Well, all I can say is I hope somebody whips your ass, Ted.
Somebody whips my ass. Why?
Because you are not fit to be a stepfather or a real father.
Wait a
minute. That's why.
The kid goes to a $20,000 a year private school.
I don't care. I really don't care.
You don't? Well, he does. He cares.
Well,
what do you think of that?
I hope when he gets old enough, he whips your ass.
He's going to whip my ass. Why? Because I sent him to too good of a school? Yeah, that's
it. No, because you're not a man to fit enough to make a damn father. That's why.
Wait a minute. That kid has Bell House. He lives in Bell House.
Wait a minute.
Have you been to Bell House?
Wait a minute. You wait a minute.
Have you been to Bell House?
Honey, I don't even live on the West Coast anymore. I'm out here on the East Coast.
No wonder.
And that's because West Coast guys like you can go straight to hell. Because none of y'all are fit to be a damn father.
I might be willing to cut the kid a little more slack if my wife would let me give it to her in the back door.
Now, you're stupid.
God.
You are ignorant as hell.
Look, Mary, the closest you're going to come to a bidet is your lawn sprinkler.
No, I'm afraid not, baby. I don't need one because besides that, you're stupid and
I'm
ignorant
stupid.
As hell.
How am I ignorant?
You are.
Oh, okay, well, thanks. I guess, you beat me.
Okay, look, Ted, the woman is upset, and a lot of people are upset. The kid, he's a pain in the butt. He's a...
Well, look, why is it every time you meet a good-looking woman, she's got a kid? She was married before. And where's the husband? Long gone, pal. Long gone.
So? That don't mean nothing.
All right.
I raised two kids with a stepfather, and they couldn't love their stepfather more now than they did whenever I married him.
How did you attract him?
I got news for you. We drove a semi together. That's how.
And you took your teeth out, and then what?
All right. Is this the kind of?
Well, there must have been something.
You're ignorant.
You are really stupid. There must have been something you did for him.
Look at Ted.
Look, Bell House is where this boy lives. 2 acres, 7 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms, billiard room, in-home theater. The boy has his own suite of rooms, a bathroom, tub, shower, foyer, king-size bed. And all I ask him to do is not crap in the bidet.
An 8-year-old boy is going to be an 8-year-old boy.
That's right.
You have never been a boy. You haven't never been nothing except for a damn little piss hand, okay?
Hey, Mary, let me ask you something. You say that your children had a stepfather, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did it help that he was also their uncle?
You know, you're going to...
I got news for you.
Yeah,
he
gonna...
wasn't their uncle.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, Mary, all he's doing is being a smartass. You know that, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I know.
Well,
obviously,
if you and Tex are out in that great
right
big convoy all year, he never has to see those kids of yours. Did you think about that? Did you think about the fact that and where is that stepdad now?
Where is he?
Yeah.
Well, right now, I hope the hell he's in jail.
Oh, what a great dad.
Okay, look, Mary, thanks for calling. Here is Judy on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Judy.
Okay, I'm going to just add to all the comments that have already been said. You are just pissing off the public, Ted.
No, you know what I'm saying?
I can't believe anyone's going to buy your book. I mean, why doesn't the president write a book why people should be so grateful that he's the president? Why doesn't a principal of a school write why should people be so grateful he's taking this job and being a principal? You're teaching that kid of yours to spit on your grave when you die, and he'll do that.
360 thread count in the sheets.
Yes, and you are so materialistic, and the best dads in the world don't think like you do. You go against all the psychological advice.
You don't like money, do you, Judy? You just live in a tent.
I'm saying money is not everything.
You see, Judy, I'm worth $25 million.
Who cares?
My wife, Marcy.
Okay.
And
if those are her values, I feel sorry for her son.
She feels sorry for her son going to a private school? Do you feel sorry for her son taking horseback riding lessons? Do you feel sorry for her son having his own private sailboat?
How many of his soccer games have you gone to? How many times you sat down with the kid?
I wouldn't go to a soccer game any more than I'd walk into a leprosy ward.
Uh-huh.
That's
okay.
How much I'd go to.
Oh, my God. You know, I haven't said this, Ted, but I'm a stepfather.
I know all about you, Phil, the big hero.
Well, you know, nothing you could say could be further from my experience. I go to the kids' games. I go.
Did you go to your daughter's cheerleading thing?
Hey, Ted, if he takes 100 more calls, they're all going to be against you. You're an asshole, okay?
You don't know anything about it.
If he takes 100 calls, they're all going to be against you. No one likes you.
No one likes you, Judy.
No one likes you, Ted. No one.
You drink your dinner.
No one likes you, Ted. Okay? No one.
No one? Why don't people like me? Because I speak the truth. Why? Because I speak the truth.
So you got to get him off your show.
Because I speak the truth, Judy? Is that it, Judy? Because I speak the truth, you stinking no good piece of garbage. But oh, hi everybody, this is Ted, Ted's Beverly Hills, reminding you Thanksgiving's a great day to come down for our pork loin and the pork roast. Your choice, $9.95. What a
All of that went out of the air.
What did?
You telling that woman she's a piece of garbage.
In the middle of the commercial?
Yes.
Well, you're going to have to do a make good.
I'm not doing another commercial for you.
I demand a make good.
I'm not doing another commercial for you. What are you nodding at, Craig? You don't think I should? You think I should?
Yeah. Or I'm calling David Hall. Yeah, there you go, you pussy.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ted Bell at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Come down and get a copy of The Stepdad, and I'll give you an autograph if you buy a steak dinner. So make that two.
Here at Ted's,
I'm out of here.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
It's a bunch of crap. That's all it is.
You done?
Yeah, I'm done.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
This is The Phil Henry Show, and I was the voice of our guest there, Ted Bell. Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills is actually a character that I created. Yes, this is The Phil Henry Show, a show unlike any other talk show that's ever been on the air anywhere. We welcome the city of Detroit to our ever-growing, ever-fattening, ever-swelling list of affiliates. As we gradually and inexorably spread out across the American landscape, the infection will at first seem rather benign, and then swelling in the lymph nodes, your face will begin to change. In many ways, you won't recognize yourself. And as you listen to our program even more, you'll grow insane. You'll become mad. You'll start looking at talk radio completely differently. You'll start wondering why you ever listened to all those other hosts with their boring guests and their dull callers. You'll start asking yourself, why am I looking at the world straight on when I could be looking at it through a prism? And on and on and on. You'll wonder about the veracity and the honesty of the host you listen to. Is he really a conservative, or is he just conservative because the program director needs one? Is he really a liberal, or is he just a liberal because they teamed him up with a conservative and that will make the show better? Is she really a liberal or a conservative? Last week she was a liberal dyke. This week she's a conservative straight woman. What's it all about? And then, ultimately, you'll wet yourself. You'll realize that our program is very funny. You'll find yourself belly laughing, and with any luck, you'll drive it right off the road into a telephone pole. And when they find your body, they'll roll you over out of the pool of blood, and they'll see a smile stretched across your face. That will be our gift to you. 1-800-449-8686. I'm going to close this hour out with a song that I really like. I just want to play it, just my tribute to a wonderful man, and the fact that I realize there's a whole generation of people that haven't heard it yet, so I'm going to play it later on in the show. Now, there's a news story here. Oh, by the way, if you want to learn more about The Phil Henry Show, please do go to our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. And when you go there, go to our souvenir shop. Pick up the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt, and, of course, all of our best-of CDs. Great gifts for the wonderful Christmas season. Plus, our best-of CDs benefit My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. So that's just one more reason why we think you ought to check it out, all right? So order now for Christmas. It takes 2 to 4 weeks for delivery, so you really need to get online and do that. And get a backstage pass while you're on our website. 1-800-449-8686 on The Phil Henry Show. It's the portion of the program where I like to comment on different things. This story, 1 in 10 young Americans can't locate America on a map. This is one of those stories that comes out every year. You know the story. kids don't know jack about geography. It's been going on for years. It's been pretty much a constant story for the last 20, 30 years. Kids don't know anything about reading a map. Now, is that important? I don't know. Is it? Is it important, for instance, when I was on the air 12 years ago and I was asking young GIs who were on their way to Kuwait if they could find it on a map, that a good 60 to 70% of them couldn't? Is that important? I don't know. Maybe it isn't. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. Because there's an old saying, folks, war is God's way of teaching geography. Because those guys didn't know they were going to Kuwait and they didn't couldn't find it on a map. They damn sure can find it now if they're still walking around. The same thing about Vietnam. Most of those guys that went off to the Nam couldn't find it on a map. They sure as hell can now. They know where the hell Vietnam is. They know where Vietnam is. They know where Cambodia is. They know where Laos is. They know where Thailand is. Those guys in the Gulf War, they damn sure know where Iraq is now. Now, we may be on our way into a war. I don't know. It might be a good idea to know where the hell it is you're going off to fight. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know. I like maps. I've always had a passion for maps. I always like to read them, look at them, go over them. And I don't know. It's just, you know, I dig maps. You know, when Marie and I go on road trips, this is the kind of total square lame ass I am. We'll go on a road trip, and we were driving through the Midwest once, and I had a book out, and I think it was a, it was one of those AAA books that they give you that gives you the story of every American city. And I'm looking, you know, Nashville, honey, it used to be a fort, and she's, yeah, it's great. You know, what are you telling me? No, seriously. Louisville, we're coming up on Louisville, probably another 20 miles to Louisville. That's nice, honey. We're on Interstate, 80. Yeah, I know, I just saw the sign, yeah. So, you know, Louisville's got a lot of Germans in it, and she's just, Jesus. But that's me, I dig it. So most American kids couldn't find their ass with both hands, let alone America, on a map. There's an organization, National Geographic Foundation. The organization survey found that about 1 in 7 of Americans between 18 and 24, the prime age for military service, could place Iraq on a map. 1 in 7. So keep this in mind. Most of the guys are going to be sending over there are dumbasses that can't read a map. And I say that with the greatest of respect for our fighting men and women. President Bush has said he's prepared to use force to rid Iraq of any weapons of mass destruction just as soon as somebody can find it for him. The majority of young people surveyed knew that the Taliban and Al-Qaeda were based in Afghanistan, but only 17% could find that country on a world map, though American-led forces have waged war there. Apparently it's only important for the guys flying the planes to know where Afghanistan is on the map. Then the guys just got out of the planes and somebody said, "This is Afghanistan." "Are you sure?" "Yeah." "Because it looks like it looks like Palm Springs." "It looks like Palm Springs, huh? What, with craters?" "Yeah, I guess you're, I guess it must be." "Eddie, hey, Eddie, you. Palm Springs wouldn't have no craters." "Hey." "Yeah, we believe you. All right, get out there and fight somebody. What do you mean, is this Palm Springs?" When more than 300 young Americans of the survey were shown a blank world map and asked to indicate the location of the United States, only 89% could do so. That ain't too good. Hey, did you ever see a show called Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? That show rocked. Did you ever see that show? It was a show that taught kids geography. And they'd have to jump on a map and identify where different things were, because Carmen Sandiego was a spy and she was living in a country and you had to find it. It was really cool. I used to watch it. Me and about, I don't know, 10 million kids under the age of 10. The International Survey of Young People in the United States and 8 other countries, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Mexico, Sweden, and Britain, asked 56 questions about geography and current events. There was only slight improvement in the score. Americans got a D. No country got an A. Sweden was average. Germany and Italy, and then America, we were the dumbasses in the group. Oh, well, I guess it doesn't much matter. As long as the guy flying the plane. Anyway, I want to hear a little bit of this, and then we'll hear more of that. Phil Hendry Show. She can read a map. Where's America?
Oh my God!
I thought so.
Like, totally.
Don't know, huh?
Encino's like so bitchin'. There's like the Galleria. I'm like, all these
stuff. I like buy the neatest mini skirts and stuff. Which is so bitchin' because, like, everybody's, like, super, super nice. Like, so bitchin'. Like, are you into S&M? I go, oh, right. Could you, like, just picture me in a, like, a leather teddy? You're like, hurt me. I'm sure, no way. He was, like, freaking me out. He called me a beastie. That's, like, his totally bliss. He goes, like, bag your face, I'm sure.
The world famous Phil Henry. Now, Phil Henry.
Harvey Wireman with us, attorney at law. Augusta National Golf Club. You know where it is, Harvey? You're a member of the Woodlake Golf Club in Palm Springs. And women, or some women, want into Augusta, even though it's only a men's club. Do you agree, disagree?
Well, Phil, you got to understand something. Most women know that they don't belong in Augusta. This woman that started this whole thing with CBS, Augusta is a men's club. And this woman wants to get women in there. She doesn't know what she's up against. She doesn't know what she's going to be confronted with. And I think that other women need to slap some sense into her, because most women realize they don't belong in Augusta.
What, is that a television?
Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's something on this afternoon. I was waiting for my my daughter.
All right. I
can hear what you're saying, though, Phil.
All right. You say that most women know they don't belong in Augusta National Golf Course.
Well, most women know they don't belong in any club that is primarily men.
Why?
Because of the fact that you have to remember, and I say this to all women, it's a man's club. So if women want to go into a man's club, they are up against smoking cigars, drinking bourbon. You know, we don't have any crantinis, the apple martinis. There is profanity, there is vulgarity, there are stag films, and when I say stag films, I am telling you that we're talking about the 8mm black and white grainy stag films, some of the filthiest things, which I'm not in favor of, and I don't watch them myself, but this is the atmosphere of men. It doesn't matter what the club.
All right, the club you belong to there, Woodlake, do you guys sit around and watch porn?
Some of the guys do, yeah, but I don't. I don't go in for that. But we do have a cigar. We drink bourbon. We drink whiskey. We tell filthy stories. We want to be men. Now, what woman wants to be in the middle of that? The only woman that wants to be in the middle of that, and I say this with the greatest of respect, coming from 40 years of working for civil rights, are lesbians. And lesbians, frankly, don't want to mix with straight men. So you already got a tinderbox with a lot of men drinking bourbon and watching stag films. You introduce lesbians into that situation, and you will have a bonfire, a conflagration. This is what you got.
Are you in favor of women being in all men's clubs or no?
No, I'm not in favor of it. And the one that started all of this is this. There's two women, Martha Burke and another one. There's an attorney by the name of Gloria Allred. And I know you know who she is.
I know, yeah, I know the name.
All right. This woman gets on TV and talks out of her ass about things she doesn't know anything about. Gloria Allred would do herself a big favor if she got herself a man and took a couple of weekends off and went out to the desert and had sex repeatedly and often with more than one man, I think, because...
Okay, let's not... That sounds like you're being vituperative.
Well, I mean it. She needs... Delta Burke stands alone on this. Nobody wants in on this thing.
All right, I'm talking with Harvey Weinman. He's an attorney at law, about the controversy surrounding the Augusta National Golf Course and other all-men's clubs. Should women be members? You are saying most women recognize they don't belong. I can hear that television. It's very distracting.
I'm sorry. When
we go to our first break, maybe you can turn it off or something.
Well, I could turn it off now if you want, but I'm looking for a program here. Hold on, Phil, till I find the program.
That's fine. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. But you say most women realize they don't belong in an all-men's club.
Oh, absolutely. That's why this woman who wants to get the Augusta guys to let... Well, she's all on her own. She's all by herself. This Burke, whatever her name is. Because every woman listening to me, almost to a woman, realizes that once they go into an all-men's club, in a lot of ways, they're up for grabs. You got to do what the men are doing. You got to watch the movies, listen to the stories, and unless Martha Burke and Gloria Allred want to have a hand up their skirt or get felt up, and I'm telling you, Phil, I don't approve of it, but it happens at it.
Felt up?
Absolutely.
At Augusta National Golf Course?
Yes. Yes.
That is one of the most... That is one of the most...
Yeah, I know all about it, Phil.
No, it's one of the most hallowed halls of golf in the world. It is a place, supposedly, of nothing but class.
I'll say it again. Unless this Allred broad and this... And I don't say broad, I meant to say woman, and Burke want to get filled up and told filthy stories, they're going to want to stay out of these golf clubs, Phil, because they're not for women. And women know that. So the point of having me on your program today is to what?
Well, I wasn't aware that most women are familiar with this.
The only reason a woman chooses to go into a men's club is to take her clothes off, honestly, because, in other words, a woman who's working a men's club. These guys, you know...
What do you mean, take her clothes off?
I mean, the only women that willingly go into men's clubs are gals that are working a party. And I mean the ones that are pulling off the clothes... And a little bit of that early morning dew, or whatever you want to call it. Now, these gals got to realize they've got to walk the talk. And what I've found is the majority of women can't do it.
All right, well, that may... that.
This is as absurd as women who want to go into combat. They want to sit there in a trench with a man who's telling foul stories. And let me tell you, I'm going to tell the women this. When a man gets shot, he doesn't say, ouch. He says, MF, GD, JC, GD, and FS, CS, every C word, every F word, all of the BMF, the B words, everything. When a guy gets shot, you think women are going to be able to handle that? No.
I don't want to go far afield and say that the women in combat issue is the same as women in the golf.
Well, it's the same thing. Women don't belong in either place. In the golf club situation, they know they don't. They know they don't.
Harvey Weinman is an attorney. That television. Can you click it off?
Okay.
Harvey Weinman is an attorney at law, and he is retired now, talking about female membership in places like Augusta National Golf Club and other all-male clubs. Now, there is a movement afoot to get women membership in these clubs, and frankly, you're telling me that most women...
I'm surprised that you're not a little bit more clued in with your audience, because... No woman really wants to be in a men's club.
Then why is this lady, this Burke woman, trying to get women in?
Because she's out of touch. Because she wants to see her name in the newspaper. Because she wants to get on the TV show, on the Alan Combs show. Because she wants to hear herself talk. And the same thing with that other broad, the other woman. And I would say.
See, with your use of the word broad tells me that you're obviously in this for a little bit more than just saying most women know it.
No, I
if women wanted to join, would you let them in?
Say that again, Phil.
If women wanted to join your golf club, would you let them in?
But they don't want to join.
But what if they did?
They're not going to want to. It's a moot point. They're not.
What if they just wanted to join? What if they said, I'd like to go and join?
Phil, it's not going to happen. They're not going to want to join.
Let's pretend that we live on another planet.
Look at it.
That we live on another planet, and they came to you and they said, Mr. Wireman, we want to join your golf club.
It's, you can't.
Just pretend for a minute. Let me put it another way. Do you want women in your club?
They're not going to want to be in the club, Phil. And that's, I'm telling you, you're taking a leak up the wrong tree. And you talk about, let's pretend we're another planet. I would never leave Earth, all right? I like it right here. Just,
you know, you're not understanding what I'm saying. What if so you don't want women in your club?
I didn't say that. I said they'll never join. Women know that joining a men's club means sexual needs need to be met. Filthy stories. It's disgusting. And no women out there can take it.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. I never got him to answer my question. But he says that most women don't want to join Augusta. You know, I had a feeling that that was, it's a story that's, you know, one woman says, well, we want to join an all-men golf club, but most women don't care. You know, so is that true? Do most women just want to stay in their own clubs and they don't want to join places like Augusta or Woodlake or anywhere else? Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Harvey Wireman, who's an attorney, a retired attorney at law, does some pro bono work for the ACLU and other organizations. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
On the line with me is attorney at law Harvey Wireman. We're talking about golf clubs and why women, men and women in golf clubs. Augusta National is campaigned by women's groups to allow women in. It's an exclusive men's club. But you say most women don't want to be in men's clubs.
No, I don't think they do. And I'll tell you something else, Phil. We would be willing to admit a limited number of female applicants, but I got to tell you something. I'm 70, almost 79 years of age, and I'll be a son of a bitch if I've got to sit there and look at some of these battle axes that come walking in and out of these women's organizations, nothing but hatred in their hearts for men. I would think it would be a nice thing to see some pleasant-looking young women who will come in and be pleasant and not this battle axe women's liberation with the no makeup and they'd scare the paint off of a freight train. I would think it'd be nice to have a pleasant looking young woman to be a member, you know, and they're nice to look at.
So you want some nice Cupid dolls sitting around there?
Oh, come on, Phil. What I'm talking to you about, most of these women don't want to be in these clubs. If any woman does want to be in this club, I'm letting her know what they're up against. There's farting, there's filthy stories, there's dirty movies, there's bourbon, there's no apple martinis. But if there's women out there that want to join, we would hope, and I underline the word hope, that they are pleasant-looking young women and not some of these frightening battle axes that you see standing up there on TV with they could make a freight train take a dirt road with the faces they got. And I say that as a man and as a longstanding member of a golf club.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Jackie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. To this lawyer, I don't know what attracts men to these places, with the dirty movies. I don't care if it's a golf club or what it is. I don't
because
know.
We want to be around other men, have a cigar, have a drink, and we don't have to listen to women for a precious few minutes a day. It's called it's male bonding.
Oh, so you just want to have time with the boys.
Absolutely. That's all we want to have, Jackie. And I'm sure you understand that you want to have time with your girlfriends, don't you?
Well, yeah.
I don't believe you don't want to join, do you?
No.
All right.
And I'll tell you what. I don't believe in the women.
Oh, man.
I don't believe in women's lib and all of that.
Yes, ma'am.
But to me, there is no rules or laws or anything that says a woman cannot, you know.
Yeah, but they don't want to be in the club, Jackie, because we watch filthy 8mm film.
Okay, you know, you said enough about that.
But it,
yeah,
we,
why?
You got to understand that at Augusta National, that everybody thinks the place is so clean they don't fart. Let me tell you something. I'll bet you at Augusta National, Sam Nunn and all the guys that go over there, they belly up to the bar, they get themselves a bourbon, and they go downstairs, and they watch some what we used to call a stag movie.
Mm-hmm.
You think they're doing that at Augusta National? The place that Bobby Jones founded, the site of the Masters Tournament, one of the most, the classiest place.
Well, what do you know about it?
Well, I just know what I've seen on TV.
Oh, well, you just know what you've seen on TV. Let me tell you something. You can walk into Augusta National on any given Friday night, and the guy that answers the door may have a difficult time turning the knob because his arm's Vaseline'd. Now, I'm telling you, and I'm telling Jackie, and whoever else cares to listen to me, it's not a place for women.
Jackie, would you like to join a men's club?
No, not really.
But we want to do it, Jackie, we want to do what men do in private. You really think these gals want to see a group of men in their late 70s in rubber shorts or whatever it is that we do? I don't think you are.
What do you mean rubber shorts?
It depends on the orientation. But I'll tell you this. We love to have the ladies as guests. We love to have them come in and sit down and have a couple of drinks. We enjoy pleasant-looking women, women who are nice figures. I don't know if, Jackie, do you have a nice figure? And I
don't think it's appropriate to ask the lady that.
You don't have it? You're not built?
No, I'm a little bit stout.
All right, darling. Well, but your husband could join, and he could bring you on our wife's night.
Yeah, brother plays golf.
Does he play over there at the Pitch and Putt, or where does he go? All right.
The starter
works out of a mobile home or?
Never mind. Jackie, thank you, dear, for your call.
Okay.
I appreciate it. 1-800, there's a lady with an opinion.
Well, she was noncommittal. She doesn't give a good sweet Jesus whether she joins the Augusta National Club or not. It's people making a big deal. And let me tell you something else. Please, dear God, if we do have to have women, I hope the first kisser I see coming through that door isn't that all red. Somebody with a couple of... Because one of the things...
Do you have to knock women based on looks? Can't we have them based on their own merit?
I think it's fair, Phil, but some of these advocates really make me angry.
Just to make based on their merit. Here is Mary on the Phil Henry Show. Mary, go ahead.
I just want to tell you, I'm driving along the street here in Tucson, Arizona, and listening to this man, and I am appalled. I wouldn't want to take two steps in a club with a person like this, and I am very attractive. You've never actually had a woman, have you?
Ma'am, I was married for 53 years to the greatest woman in the world, and I was in the Marine Corps in the South Pacific, so I've crapped bigger than you in my life. So don't start telling me about
you.
Don't start telling me about your life experience.
You brought it way down. Let me tell you.
Let's start all over again here, okay?
Well, she's starting in on me.
Well, hold on for a minute.
Well, listen to you.
Hold on for just a minute.
She's talking about women and the way you talk about them.
What I'm saying,
you're a different generation, but you don't talk that way.
What did I say? I said that women don't want to be in these kinds of clubs, so why force them in?
I meant what you say about makeup. Oh, a little makeup on their face. What are you talking about?
Look, you said you're attractive. We would love to have you over at Augusta, okay? I'm talking about are some of these battle axes, and you've seen them. You know what I'm talking. Who's that lesbian that runs the National Organization of Women? What's her name? Ireland? If I got a look at that coming through the door, I might as well go ahead and call Kevorkian now.
I don't know whether to laugh or what.
Well, I'm listening
to you because you are just too
much. All right, I want to say something here.
Out of this world. You're not in this time and age.
Wait. When's the last time you were at a private men's golf club?
I have no desire to.
Okay, so I think I know what I'm talking about.
But just to listen to you, do you hear yourself the way
I'm sorry, I didn't miss that.
Your phone broke up, Mary.
Oh, I'm just listening to the way you're putting women down.
I'm not putting women down. I'm saying if they come and join our golf club, we'd like a little bit of the, a little something nice to look at. Is there something wrong with that?
Whatever you need.
A little something, a little leg, a little, the face, so the face doesn't scare the paint off the wall. That's all I'm asking.
Oh, my
you
God. I don't know. I'm in shock, so I can't say anymore.
You're
why don't you get some other women on there?
You get a,
sure
you got a woman.
They're going to give some good opinions there.
We are the pillars of society at these clubs. A pillar needs something nice to keep it erect. And that's a joke I like to tell.
It was very inappropriate.
Right.
I'm on the live radio right now. Do you mind?
I got to go. I got to pick up my 12-year-old son, who I hope never grows up to be like you. I'm just going to do that right now.
I hate to give you the bad news. The odds are he will.
No, dear, he won't.
Odds are.
All right, listen, Mary, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Harvey, I know where you're coming from, but I think a lot of your comments are taken in a very extreme way.
Well, look, Phil, if you listen to what I'm saying, listen to this carefully. If you want to let women into these golf clubs, they're going to be offended, and they're going to have to put up with the fact that a lot of these guys, after a couple of bourbons, are going to want a cup of feel. This is what they do.
Can they act like gentlemen?
Look, we let the women in. Now you're going to tell me how to act? Augusta needs to stay men only. Woodlake needs to stay men only. Most women know that.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, I don't know where I am here. Harvey?
Yeah, right here, Phil.
Okay, I got a little wind blowing now. Are you outside?
Yeah, I wanted to let you know, Phil, I am standing outside right now on the 18th green here at Woodlake. And it is a beautiful evening. And I am standing here with a bourbon and water in my hand. And there aren't any women on the course. And I love women, and I love my wife very much when she was alive. But I will tell you something. I'm going to go down here, because we don't have any female members, to the approximate area where the ladies' tee would be. Phil, I'm going to...
Okay.
All right, I'm here probably about... This is a par 3, Phil, so it's a good 195 yards, I think, from the championship tee. And I am going to urinate.
All right, Harvey, come on, man.
Hold on, because the point is, Phil...
Yeah, but what... I'm on the air right now.
Well, the point is to make a statement. Hold on. Oh, boy. Yeah.
What's the point?
The point is to make the statement that there won't be any ladies' tea here for any time soon, because when this grass dies...
Well, they'll just resod it, all right? They'll resod it.
Hold on. But I will tell you something, Phil.
That's the juvenile way that women see us. You reinforce that.
You listen to me and you listen good, because I've lived a few years longer than you. If I saw a woman coming up the cart path right now with golf clubs in her hands, I would go back into the house, take the beer can opener, and gouge my eyes out. I would rather be blinded for life than see a woman coming up the cart path in Woodlake. But it is a beautiful evening, Phil.
Well, and they don't want to join anyway, so you got no... according to you, they don't want to join anyway, so you got no problem.
I got no problem, that's right. But the more these broads, Burke woman, the one that... what's the one that talks?
Martha Burke.
Yeah, the more she talks, the more these other women are going, I'd like to join. Even they wouldn't know a golf club from a clothes hanger. You know, the thing they use for abortions or whatever that...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Carlton, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Well, as I told you before I got on the air, I kind of agree with what Harvey's saying, Guys need a place where they can go and bond, and myself enjoy going to a good strip club or, whatever with my buddies, hanging out and having a beer. But if the women want to go there, you got to let them. I mean,
no, I don't have to let them. I don't have to let them. No, I don't.
There's laws. There's laws.
What law?
You have to.
What law? There's no law that says you got to let a woman into a private club.
That's
no law that says you got. There's no law that says you got to let a woman into a private club. Okay,
like
so
said,
look up the law, and
you
give us a call back.
All right, thanks a lot. Here is Don on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Harvey, I think you got two personal things here. You're putting Woodlakes with Augusta National. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. They do allow women in the club. They're just not allowed members. They're all allowed to play on golf courses. So
yes, I know that.
You're comparing two different things here.
Wait a second. Augusta does not have female membership.
I didn't say female members. I said they do allow women in the club, and they do allow women to play the course.
Yeah, but you
see
how they're getting...
You seem to be misinformed that women are not allowed in the club at any given time.
But you see what... Well, you're wrong. They're not allowed
in the
club.
No, I'm not wrong.
Well, excuse me. Have you golfed Augusta?
Yes, I have. Have you golfed at Augusta?
Yes, I have golfed at Augusta. I never saw a woman in the place.
Well, maybe... When was the last time you golfed there?
I was there in... 89 Masters, just before the 89 Masters.
Well, things have changed since 89 Masters.
Well, what are you telling me? These guys have been...
I'm telling you that I don't think you have your facts, and you're talking about...
First of all, women
members...
You
have made the point that if women are members, they will go to the club. Augusta National allows women in the club, Harvey.
No, only as guests. They don't get to come in when you're having a drink. And I'll tell you something else. The women that go in there are subject to whatever the men want to do. They'll get felt up. You know what I'm talking about.
Harvey,
you know when a guy gets
Harvey,
a sheet
we're not deal. Dealing. We're not dealing with a shoe bar in a seedy part of town. We're dealing with CEOs of companies.
Oh,
I've never seen that.
And they don't
I've never
feel,
seen. Right. I've never seen anything you're describing.
They don't
as
feel
that.
Up. They don't feel up women.
You're
Wait
making two different points here, Harvey.
No, I'm not
membership
making
membership and women allowed in the club.
They don't feel up women.
I have never in my life
well,
seen
you know
anybody
something.
In the club at Augusta National feel up a woman, as you say.
Well, I think that's
and I don't
really,
believe
that doesn't
he
mean it
would
doesn't
allow
happen.
A membership to continue using the club if he was known to be doing that.
It doesn't. It just doesn't mean it doesn't happen because you haven't seen it. And the other problem you have to understand, Phil, women can't golf because their breasts get in the way of the swing. Now, you get a gal out there, and, of course, if her breasts are big enough, who cares if she knows how to golf? And I'm
Harvey.
Sure you know what I'm talking about, Don.
Harvey.
But the breasts get in the way, and so they...
Yeah, they can't hit a long drive.
They can't hit anything over 200. Like Warren Buffett never tried on a pair of pumps and dressed like Marie Antoinette. Well, he does it at Augusta because in addition to the heterosexuality that they have there, there are a fair number of our CEOs engaged in... dressing in drag and Vaselining up. And so with that...
264, my love.
I'm just turning the channel here.
Yeah, outside?
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm still outside.
Yeah. Okay, so good luck, man.
Well, thank you very much, Phil. And anybody wants to join Augusta, go ahead and, you know... call him up. Friday night is Daisy Chain night.
Okay. I'll give out that number.
Can I give the number?
No, I'll give it out later.
All right. So I got to go inside. I'm getting cold. And I'm not wearing any clothes, which is the other great thing. You don't have to worry about, not having your pants on because there's no women around. I'm Harvey Wireman signing off from Woodlake.
Okay, see you later, man. All right, 1-800-449-86. Has he hung his phone up? 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, everybody. I'm Phil. I pretend I'm other people sometimes, and people call in and think that the person I pretend I am is real. Ever heard of anything like that in the history of entertainment? Of course you haven't. You only hear it here on The Phil Hendry Show, where I'm myself, and I play the parts of other characters. Kind of goofy, kind of now, kind of wow, kind of Charlie. Now then, don't forget our website. And when I say don't forget our website, my website's probably more important than most websites because it'll really give you an explanation of this radio show. It'll give you archived comedy. It'll give you the last 30 days worth of shows fully archived. It will give you an ability to listen live at any time, listening on demand. It will give you webcast archives and a lot of different places where you can access the comedy we do in The Phil Hendry Show. And all you do is go to philhendryshow.com. That URL again, philhendryshow.com. This week, by the way, we are featuring a website. I have a variety of links that are some of my favorite links. And this week, our featured link is the Dwight Fry website. The Dwight Fry website. You've got to visit this fantastic website dedicated to one of the greatest acting treasures this country has ever known, a man by the name of Dwight Fry. Now, if you ever saw the original Dracula and you saw Renfield, that's Dwight. Or if you ever saw the original Frankenstein and that hunchback Fritz, that was Dwight Fry. Check out his website. It was, I believe, started by members of the family. There's some very cool information about him, and, you know, you might find other places to go. So this week we featured the Dwight Fry website on our website, philhendryshow.com. A little bit more about our website and some of the things we offer, but first, a flashback from yesterday's program. Larry Grover, who is a former chairman of Conservatives of Kern County, now living on his mother's service porch and sleeping on a cot at night, he feels cheerleading is immoral and leads to the impotence of men. Why? Because it teaches girls how to nag.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
If your team's driving in one direction, defense is playing in one direction, and you get the ball, and you hear the cheerleader say, get it in the end zone, how is that distracting?
Because it's nagging. Nag, nag, nag. Get it in the end zone. Kick the ball. Do this. Do that. In one of the games, I turned around and I simply said, would you please just shut up for a minute?
That's their job. That's their program. You're in the football program. They're in the cheerleading program. You know, you've got these girls going to championships because they're good at what they do. You don't see the Dallas Cowboys firing their cheerleaders, do you? No. Obviously, they want them there.
No.
If you're such a good football player, you've got to run to your own end zone.
But wait a second. How do I know which one is my end zone when I got some nagging, little pigtailed, pleated skirt guy? And she's telling me, go to the end zone. Go. And I said, well, which end zone is it?
And if you think your daughter's a sex symbol, obviously, man, that's something's crazy there.
Wait a minute.
Something's not right.
Are you trying trying to tell me that I got the hots for my own daughter? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm trying to say, obviously, in her age group, you're watching these people, you know, and you're saying they're a sex symbol. Obviously, they're turning you on.
Season, if I'm watching you and you go up in the air and your skirt goes up over your head, what, do you want me not to look at your buns?
Yeah, I want you not to look at your daughter's buns.
I'm not looking at my daughter's buns.
Then why
mother,
do you think
like
she's
mother,
a sex symbol? Teenage
like,
boys are going to look at what they're going to look at, man. They're not out there. All the fans and the people your age watching their kids play football are not out there watching your daughter's ass. They're watching the football game. And if they're watching your daughter's ass, they're sick.
It's like
your
mother,
daughter's out there having fun doing what she's enjoying. You shouldn't try to take that away from
they
her. If you
sick.
Loved her,
I
you
love
wouldn't
her,
take that.
But I don't want her to yell out, put it in the end zone, and some poor guy is going to go, which one? And the next thing you know, she's destroyed a man's life. You
destroy
wanna
the man's life,
yeah,
having fun. If
no,
the man was
fun
a good football player, he would know which end zone to run to. You let people bother you way too much, and you can't expect to move your teenage daughter. That's a cheerleader. Obviously, he's got something going for her, because where I'm from, cheerleaders, you know, are pretty popular and stuff like that. You can't imagine her to move out of her home with her mother to a pool.
Now I know what
you're a porch? Come on, dude. You got to get your shit together before you can even think about telling your teenage daughter she has to move to a porch with your mama.
First of all, I'm sleeping temporarily on a cot on the service porch, but we're clearing out the garage, so we'll bring in sleeping bags for the kids and a Bunsen burner.
Sleeping bags and a Bunsen burner for a teenage cheerleader girl that probably wants to go out on dates and have a good time and keep her popularity. You're trying to ruin her life, Dad. You're not trying to help her.
That will end. No more cheerleading, because I'm not going to have my daughter standing on the sideline and saying things like, and let me quote directly to you, Season, the hoop is hot, make that shot. What's that supposed to mean?
The hoop is hot, make that shot, put the basket in the goal. Come on. She's trying to cheer for her team.
What's this? We want it up, we want it in. That is humiliating to any man that hears it.
Dude, it's humiliating to you because you have some kind of weird complex about your baby girl. She's having fun doing what she wants to do.
Well,
man.
I don't want her showing her buns to just anybody.
All right.
Well,
look, this is
she's
sick.
A cheerleader.
I agree with what the lady was saying. By the way, how old are you?
I'm 21 years old.
20. And yeah, so you think it's fine when they say, push it, rah, rah, rah. That's okay?
Yeah, because I played sports. They're trying to cheer them on. They're not trying to arouse anybody.
Were you
dude.
A cheerleader?
I wasn't a cheerleader. I was a sports player.
Oh, a lesbian, huh?
Yeah, And the lesbian comment you made earlier, you know, I had a girlfriend that probably looked better than any of the cheerleaders out there, so the pee pants lesbian thing is bull crap.
Wait a
minute. Everybody out there, listen, that was bull crap.
What was bull crap?
Baggy clothes lesbians can't.
That's
come
right.
On.
Every lesbian that I've ever known, they always wore slacks.
Oh, come
slacks
on,
and
dude.
Floor shine shoes and lipstick.
What about the bondage collared porno lesbians? Do they wear slacks? Come on, dude.
Oh,
they're hot lesbians.
Which series are you talking about? Is that the one with Kimberly Ames or the?
Okay, fine.
Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right, Larry. Good job, man. Yeah, that cheerleading. You're out there in the football field, and all you hear is go, go, go. Oh, be quiet. All you're doing is giving me performance anxiety over here. I'm trying to get the ball. I'm trying to run it in, and you're telling me to run it in, jam it in, stick it in, put it in. Come on. Do you understand what we're up against? By the way, there's a story in the news today about fake Viagra making the rounds. I haven't heard one complaint. See, it's all in the head, man. That head, this one up here. It's all in your head. It's all placebo. You know what I mean by that? You tell a guy you're giving him a pill like it's LSD, he's going to start seeing the walls breathe, and he's going to see pillows turning into Siamese cats. And then the next thing you know, you say to him, you know, that was just a sugar pill. He won't believe you. It was a what? It was a sugar pill. It wasn't LSD. Well, it was the greatest trip I've ever been on. Well, okay. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Aram, hello.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Good, man.
Look, man, I'm...
Are you not
I'm,
listening to the show right now?
Actually,
I'm told that you're...
Unfortunately, W.O., I'm in Dallas right now. When I'm home in Tucson, we get you live on KJLL, but here in Dallas, I have to wait for you on tape delay on WOAI out of San Antonio.
Oh, I see. Okay, uh-huh.
No, I'm not listening to you live.
Okay, so this is weird. I'm taking a call from a guy that's not even listening to the show.
Well, when it's not 7 o'clock, I'll listen to it. The question I have is, I'm taking...
Wait a second. It's 5 minutes to six right now.
I'm
Dallas
sorry. I'm on Arizona time. I'm in Arizona, and I'm on Arizona time, okay? So whatever time it is here...
Ask me your question.
Okay. I was wondering, I'm taking some communications courses. I was wondering if I could ask you a few questions about the business.
I'm taking some mushrooms right now, and I was wondering... Okay, sure. Go ahead. I always like to help young people getting into this business.
Okay.
Because if it can get you out of the business...
Well, what
Fire
you have
away,
to say
man.
Right now might do that. I was wondering if it's possible that I don't have to be as rude as most talk show hosts to my callers and listeners.
Most talk show hosts? Is it possible?
Yeah. Do I have to be successful in the business? Do I have to be rude to my talk show, to my listeners? Do I have to treat my listeners and my callers with absolute contempt?
I don't know.
Because a lot of the talk show hosts, and do I have to hire rude, inept people to be call screeners also?
I don't know.
Because I'm just curious, because a lot of the talk shows I've listened to, the hosts tend to be very rude.
And the ones that you've called,
tend
too.
To be even worse.
The what?
Because I said the hosts tend to be rude and the call screeners tend to be even
worse. I don't know. I don't know what kind of guy you are.
I'm an easygoing kind of guy. It takes a lot to piss me off.
Well, then why don't you be who you are?
Okay, I was just... curious, because as I said, well,
the only way you're ever going to have any success anywhere in life, my young friend, is to be who you are and be what you are.
Okay.
Now, you asked me how you are an easygoing guy. Are you going to be successful in radio? I think you can be successful in anything that you love.
Okay.
All right?
All right, I was just
that
curious.
Rude stuff, were you dancing around? Am I rude?
You can be at times. You
and
really
my
can.
Call screener?
Your call screener is an absolute prick. Pardon my language.
Okay, so you were just basically talking about us.
No, actually, I was talking about a few other people, too, but I don't know if you want me to use names.
Go ahead.
Rush is that way. Michael Savage is that way. Jim Rome is extreme. Is very much like that.
Well, Rome's only about 5 foot two, so he's.
Oh
got,
yeah, well yeah. I'm about 6 foot four.
Well, there
so
you go.
I would love to meet Rome in a dark alley with a crowbar in my hand.
Oh, see, now that's a threat, and we're going to have to trace the call now.
I'll cut it out.
No, yeah. By the way, Aram, you're a prick. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.